Well, cast your mind back to the spring. We were running radio adverts and having regular on-air chats with CBM, the Cambridge-based charity, who were running their Light Up Lives appeal at the time. That finished in the middle of May. They've counted the coppers, they broke open the jar, and I'm joined on the line by Rosie Jack from CBM. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Neil. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too. We'll come on to the figure in a minute because I'm hoping it's a good one. I'm hoping it was a very big jar full of coppers that you needed to break open. But for those who are just sort of coming into the story, tell us about CBM and what the Light Up Lives appeal was about.
Yeah, absolutely. So CBM, we are a charity that works with people with disabilities in the world's poorest places. And we're working to try and break the cycle of poverty and disability, because people with disabilities, the vast majority of them live in the poorer parts of the world, and they tend to be the poorest people in their communities, facing a load of barriers to do the kinds of things that we all take for granted. But also, there are many people living with disabilities in the world's poorest places, needlessly, because they can't access treatment for conditions that can lead to disability. So, for example, 75% of the world's blindness is avoidable if you have the right treatment. So our Light Up Lives appeal was about preventing blindness, improving access to sight-saving services in Zimbabwe and some other countries in order to prevent blindness and help people to regain their sight who have conditions like cataracts.
And we've already seen from the stories that you've told me, we're talking about the world's poorest countries, and we're talking about the poorest and most disadvantaged people often in those poor countries. And just one person having that sort of easily curable blindness, it affects entire families, doesn't it? Through generations. And if you can fix just one person, suddenly a whole group of people's lives gets better. And you've had stories on your website, and we've had people and stories told on the radio about those real life experiences about people with cataracts. So you're running this campaign, and as I understand it, it's a UK aid match campaign. So for every pound or so that the likes of me chips in, the government has to go, really? With COVID and everything else, you want more money? But they match fund it, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So for the Light Up Lives appeal, for 3 months, from the 18th of February to the 20th of May, then the government matched every pound that was given by individuals in the UK. And as you say, we didn't just need a bigger jar for this appeal. We really needed quite a lot of jars, because we, after everything was counted up and the government had approved all our figures recently, then we heard that in total, the Light Up Lives appeal raised an amazing £2.3 million to prevent blindness and restore sight in the world's poorest places.
That is a staggering amount. Now, that includes this UK aid match from the government. So how much was that?
Yeah, so there was the £2.3 million, which was everything altogether, and that included just over £1 million of match funding from the UK government. If you want an exact number, it is £1,058,862. So that is also the amount that was given by individuals from Cambridge and around the UK. So just absolutely, you know, astounding and so inspiring that even through all of the hard times, you know, it wasn't the spring of this year, the last winter wasn't the easiest of times for anybody, was it? But actually, the huge generosity of individuals around the country who gave so generously to the appeal to help people who don't need to be blind to access the services that they need in Zimbabwe and, you know, some of the poorest places in the world. It was just so inspiring, and we are so grateful for all the support we received.
Now, when you get an amount like that, when you get £2.3 million, that really means you can do long-term work with that, can't you? You can really get systems and infrastructure in place.
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest proportion of this money will go to Zimbabwe to set up a new 3-year eye health program. And what that will do is we will work with local hospitals in Zimbabwe within the local health systems to train doctors, to train health workers, to improve access to eye health services, so that, you know, people who need something like a cataract surgery, who need an eye test, who need a pair of glasses, to make those services more accessible to them, so that those services exist in rural areas where actually at the moment, you know, many district hospitals, many hospitals that are the closest ones to where people live have no eye health services. So we'll be doing those sort of long-term things in partnership with hospitals and health workers in Zimbabwe to really strengthen those systems so that people who need eye health services to save their sight will be able to access them. So they won't be, you know, too expensive, too far away, or just unavailable, which is so often the case at the moment.
Oh, it's just amazing. And as you said, really, people have been incredibly generous. I mean, we're talking here about foreign aid. UK charities have all been struggling because they can't hold their usual fundraising nighttime walks and things like that. But there's been no let up, has there? They're still giving to that as well. They're still supporting all their local charities. So people have really been incredibly generous at a time when, as you say, there's hardship on the ground here in the UK. People aren't, you know, people's wallets aren't full.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just amazing to hear. And there's been so many different people who've supported in so many different ways. So, you know, we had this amazing lady in her 80s who actually lived down in Brighton, and she decided to walk 1,000 steps a day using her three-wheeled walker. She said it was her Captain Tom walker.
I was going to say.
So she was really inspired by him. She did sponsored walks. She raised, I think, over £2,500 just doing that, her sponsored walk down there. We've had young people like from sixth form colleges around Cambridge who got involved. We had churches who got involved. We had companies. You know, there were so many different people who supported in different ways. And I think it's one of those things where you can really see how you can make, like you said, such a big difference to so many people through quite simple things. You know, you might think that sight isn't the most important thing in your life, but actually if you lose your sight needlessly and it can be restored through a really quite simple procedure, because you know half of all blindness in the world is caused by cataracts can be treated for £24, a simple operation that can, you know, restore someone's sight. So I think that's why many people really, you know, were inspired to do that, because they knew that relatively small amounts of money can make a huge difference to people who really have so little often, and are also facing COVID challenges. But, you know, in places like Zimbabwe, where you don't have the health infrastructure around you that we are so fortunate to have here in the NHS.
Sure. Well, it's great to hear that those figures are there, and you must all be very pleased with that. It does, of course, beg the question, right, what's next then? Where are you focusing? What's on the go at the moment elsewhere in the world, and what have you got coming up?
Yeah, so we've got we've still got an awful lot going on at CBM because there's still a huge amount to do. So obviously COVID-19 continues to be a major challenge, and here in the UK, you know, most of us have had access to vaccines, but in many other countries where we work, people haven't yet had access to vaccines, and still are really struggling to deal with the impact of COVID-19. So we're doing a lot of work with our partners, particularly in countries like Nepal and Indonesia, first to make sure that people with disabilities are supported through the crisis. They may have completely lost their income. They may be unable to access safety information. So we're working hard on that to really support some of the most vulnerable people still affected by COVID-19, which is just still causing so many problems in so many parts of the world, as sadly so many of us know.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're also, there's a big problem in Madagascar with the food crisis there caused by climate change and the climate crisis. That, you know, the World Food Programme from the UN has said this is the first famine caused purely by climate change. So we're working with our partners there to bring support to people with disabilities. And also our eye health work continues as well. So, you know, really helping to strengthen eye health services and prevent avoidable blindness in many parts of the world. So there's still an awful lot going on at CBM.
I was going to say, I was rather hoping you were going to just kick your chair back, put your feet up on the desk and go, do you know what, I'm having a few weeks rest. But it doesn't sound like you are at all.
Well, sadly, there's still a lot of challenges in the world. People with disabilities, you know, we see you know, amazing change sometimes through things like the Paralympics, where we see, you know, a real understanding and wider public perception of that people with disabilities are not, you know, are not different from any of the rest of us. They can achieve amazing things just as anybody can with the right support. And yet there are still a lot of challenges out there. But also, we're so fortunate to have amazing support from so many people in the UK that enables us at CBM to do the work that we feel so passionately about, whether that's saving sight or supporting people with disabilities.
Well, it's great to have you on the line with some great news today, Rosie. £2.3 million is not to be sneezed at, so well done. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for telling us about that. And we'll keep in touch about all these other things you've got on the go over the coming weeks and months. Rosie Jack, thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to Cambridge 105 for all your brilliant support.